Oh, for example, you can use the gun on yourself. Like, that's okay, that doesn't sound funny either.
Okay, everything you're saying. So it's a suicide simulator.
Welcome to episode 18 of One More Podcastle, where we torture each other for your pleasure. My name is Eric Bailey. I'm still learning how to do this podcast thing, and I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
I am Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am sporting a shiny new pair of cement shoes.
My name's Jason Lamb. I'm the resident Canadian, and I'm borderline insane.
Right on the border of Canada.
The Canadian insanity border.
The Canadian insanity border.
Hunter, are those cement shoes comfortable at all?
They're a little heavy. They're a little heavy.
How about scratchy? Are they scratchy?
No, not really. Should they be? Maybe I did it wrong.
How about polish? Can you get shoe polish for cement shoes?
Well, I mean, you're just going to be polishing the Tide boxes that the cement is in. So maybe, yeah.
That totally makes sense.
Tide makes a good cement shoe.
Jason, what kind of insane are you? Are you like multiple personality disorder or just kind of a sociopath?
Probably a sociopath.
Probably a sociopath.
You don't know?
I'm not sure.
I'm a little scared. It sounds like you might be like a schizophrenic sociopath psychopath combo, maybe?
Perhaps.
All right,
luckily,
we'll take our chances.
Miles away.
Stay tuned for the answer.
And luckily, he's I was gonna say overseas, but I think that joke would have went over most people's heads because Canada is not overseas. Hey, you guys, been playing any old video games lately?
I've been playing a new old game.
Ooh. What does that mean?
That means that I've been playing Streets of Rage Remake.
Ooh. What?
Streets of Rage Remake is a fan project that was 8 years into the making. They built the game from scratch. They combined all three of the Sega Genesis Mega Drive Streets of Rage games. They've added countless moves, like 15 other characters. You could pick your own, practically pick your own storyline as in terms of like where you go in different areas and stuff. You can make your own levels.
What?
You can make your own levels.
What the
what?
Hell?
It's part of the programmable series.
That sounds awesome.
It's if you have any likeness to Streets of Rage or just beat 'em ups in general, you've got to check this game out. It's made by a company called Bomber Games. And the latest version is version 5.
What platform is this on?
PC.
It's like a PC download?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it does have controller support. So huge.
Sweet.
And the Joy to Key app, the Joy to Key program works really well with it too.
All right. I will definitely have to check that out. Is this a new thing or has this been around for years and for some reason I just never heard of it?
Let's find out.
Do, 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 do.
Let's just go to bombergames.net. That'd probably be helpful. Last update was April 3rd of 2011. So yeah, it's been out for a while.
Well, then I need to get on the trolley and get on these things. I wonder how many other gems are out there I don't even know about.
I don't even remember how I came across it, but I think I was looking for like Mega Man something fan games, I think. And I came across that. The Streets of Rage somehow, and then I lost about 24 hours of my life that I don't remember. I kind of blacked out when I was playing it.
That's appropriate for a beat-em-up, to black out, you know?
And I'd been drinking, too, so that might have...
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's one of the best and worst things about the retro gaming community, I feel like, is that there's constantly these remakes and demakes and homebrews and hacks and all kinds of things going on, but you have these little teams of independent people, just like one or two guys or girls doing these things, and if they don't have any marketing base to promote from, it's just tough to know about it all, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that is really difficult, especially for like indie game review sites, because I follow about like four or five indie game review sites, and I have to follow that many to try to get as much indie game news as possible. Like when Battle Kid 2 is coming out soon.
Yep.
So that's everywhere. But, you know, things like the Streets of Rage remake or what was the other one that I saw that was really neat? I can't remember. But anyway, it's really difficult to kind of keep everything in one spot. I think the other thing that really hurts is a lot of these independent games relate back to older genres, you know, like Mega Man and Mario Brothers and Zelda and that kind of thing. And as many as these review sites I've read, none of them have made that connection. Like something that would help me a lot, especially being a console player who's looking to get into the indie gaming market, is to give me a review of an indie game and then say, oh, by the way, this game's a lot like this game or this game that you've played that came out in, you know, 89. So if you like those games, you might like this game. Like there's none of that. And that really, for me anyway, that really holds me back.
Yeah. Weird. It's like they either don't even recognize it as an homage or can't see the genre influences it's had over the years. That's interesting.
What about you, Jason?
I was bad this week. That's bad. I've been playing old games.
Aw, Jason.
I'm sorry. I know. I'm trying to finish Borderlands.
Because it's not like you don't do a retro gaming podcast once a week. God forbid if you could take 5 minutes out of your
down
day.
For 10 minutes. And I did load up Doom.
Finally?
Doom 2. I loaded it up, and then it crashed.
Well, Doom 2 counts. I mean, that's something at least.
Yeah. It crashed, though, so I never actually got a chance to play. I didn't even get past the logo screen.
Why did it crash?
I don't know.
Your computer is just too powerful.
It is. It's so powerful that DOS emulation is too little for it.
Too little for it. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that.
All right. So here's
that's pretty much
here's
it.
Your homework till next week.
All right.
Play a good retro game.
What's your okay? Preferably one without taxes.
Cannot have taxes in it.
No, right, it can have taxes. We just get to make fun of you about it again.
Fair enough.
All right. Actually, do you have a game you recommend? Recommend me something.
For like PC or Nintendo 64 or...
Anything. I'll grab myself a copy. Somehow.
Anything?
Anything.
What genre
anything.
Are you looking for?
Anything. It could even be a platformer.
I got a game I just picked up for the Sega Genesis that I've never played before, and I was really impressed with it. It's called ESWAT, City Under Siege.
Or
City Under Siege.
You could just play Super Metroid. If you've never played through Super Metroid, you have to play that.
I've never played through the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, you should do that then instead. That's...
Well, let's do that then.
Yeah,
I'll play some Super Metroid before next week, and I'll let you guys know what I think.
Awesome! Well, I mean, it's not like I was great this week either in terms of playing old games.
You guys are killing me.
Well, no, listen, hear me out. I played two NES games this week. One of them I picked for the Retro Showdown, so I don't want to say what it is. And the other one, I just needed to clear my mind a little bit, so I played Marble Madness, which I think I've mentioned on this podcast before as one of my like classic just zone-out games where you just sit there and you're super comfortable with it. And I beat it a few times trying to reach 100,000 points, but didn't quite get there, so... I'll be back, Marble Madness. I'll be back.
Soon enough.
Aw, yes. Oh, hey guys, guess what?
What?
Chicken butt.
We got another listener email discussion question.
Wow.
Awesome.
Woohoo! You guys ready for it?
I'm ready.
It's not the same guy, is it?
No, actually, it's a new guy.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah, I know some podcasts have like the one guy who emails every week, so we'll see if we ever get there. But no, this is new. This is from Jorge Barbosa, or in English, George Barbosa, if you want to really be Americanized about it. On Twitter, he has a feed. It's spelled J-Y-O-O-R-U-J-E. And he wrote in, and here's what he has to say. Hey, guys, I've listened to the podcast since the first episode, and you guys do an awesome job. Congrats. Now, the question.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Jorge. Let's imagine that you have to choose a game for each other to defend in a Retro Showdown segment. What game will it be? Who will defend it? And why? Keep up the good work. So I think what he means is if you got to pick one game for someone else to have to defend in the Retro Showdown, what would it be? And why do you make that choice of game and person who has to defend it? Do either of you have any thoughts?
I got one. I came up with one. And okay. Bailey.
Uh-oh.
If you could the only thing I could that came to mind the first time I heard that was like Mario Mania for the Virtual Boy.
Mario Mania.
Yeah. Cuz I think anything from the Virtual Boy, I mean, kind of speaks for itself. But with Mario Mania being just a remake of Mario Brothers, like I think that would be difficult for anybody, especially a legend of Nintendo, such as yourself, could be able to defend.
That would be difficult, but I admit I'm now tempted. Like, that's really tempting, Hunter. I got to maybe pick a Virtual Boy game next week, maybe.
They're all garbage. Doesn't matter.
Hope you like seeing red lines, you know. That classy two-color display.
And going blind in 15 minutes.
Yeah, and getting a headache in half an hour and having neck strain after 45 minutes and blacking out after an hour, right?
And then waking up and you're working at McDonald's. not too sure how you got there, but that's what the Virtual Boy does to you.
That's what it does. Do you remember when Nintendo was trying to market it as a portable console? Remember that?
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. There's nothing portable about that thing.
Nothing at all. It's like less portable than a Super Nintendo. That is the least portable thing of all time.
Well, the thing I can say, because I've personally played one for, I don't want to say a long extent time, because I just couldn't keep it up. But anyway, the way it fits on your head, it actually feels really comfortable. Just like around the face and the eye area and that kind of thing. But it's so heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that there's no, like, straps to strap it to your head is, I don't know where the portable thing came out.
Yeah, the only way I ever played is it was on that stand. And I'm a tall guy, so I'm having, like, to hunch over and contort myself to really get my face in there right. And it's just not a good playing experience. I mean, why would you think that was a good idea? Especially when it'd be one thing if it provided like virtual reality or some kind of truly three-dimensional immersion, but no, it was red lines everywhere.
You're a tall guy. How tall are you?
6'3"-ish. 6'4", maybe, some days. Yeah. I'm pretty tall, you know.
That feels short.
How tall are you, Jason?
I'm like 5'10".
That's not bad.
I'm the average height right on.
All right, cool. You're about the height of my wife. You're right there.
There you go. There you go, Jason. There you go.
Great.
So the next time somebody asks you how tall you are, you say, oh, I'm Bailey's wife.
Bailey's wife, you know.
One Bailey's wife.
I'm really glad Hunter found that amusing. There you go. Yes, that's exactly what you are.
I have a game for Hunter to review.
Oh?
Or to defend, I should say. I'd really love to see you defend Yoshi's Safari.
Ooh,
Yoshi's Safari.
Yes, the rail shooter.
The super scope
with the
rail
super
shooter,
scope, yeah.
With a super scope rail shooter, where Yoshi's head is constantly in the screen.
Well, yeah, because you're playing the part of Mario on the back of Yoshi.
Yeah,
right. That is a weird game. There's no way around it. That game is odd.
I tell you what, I just picked up the Sega Genesis Mercer, which is the Super Scope for the Genesis, basically.
Yeah.
It is not any better.
It's just, yeah, go figure.
It's a hunk of plastic that does nothing.
Isn't it strange how it seems like after the Zapper on the NES, consoles really couldn't figure out how to make a light gun shooter anymore?
Well, I think it's I think the biggest thing was, obviously, you know, after the NES and the Master System, they were like, okay, we got to go bigger and we got to go better. So they built the Super Scope, they built the Mercer, and it's like, okay, these things are garbage because they're just big hunks of plastic. And they're like, yeah, this is probably a bad idea. And then somebody was like, you know, we could still do light gun games, like with Virtua Cop and that kind of thing on the Sega Saturn. Mm-hmm. And then the whole video game gun thing started, and then everybody's like, okay, we shouldn't do this at all.
Yeah, and I guess I actually like on the Wii being able to see the cursor on screen for games. Like, I've been mentioning House of the Dead 2 and 3 a lot. I actually am probably going to buy more rail shooters on the Wii because that's a fun experience there. But
just
otherwise,
first-person shooters for it because they're terrible. Let down from Red Steel. I was so excited about Red Steel before it came out. And then I got it and I played it and I was like, this is the worst game. The worst controls and the worst mechanics ever. The story's not too bad, but oh my god, it was such a bad idea.
Did you ever try Red Steel 2, see if they addressed any of the concerns?
No, I sold my Wii soon after that.
There you go. All right. I thought about this question, and I know exactly what game, and I even know why, but I don't know who. So I'll throw this out there. The why is because I know that both of you see this as a laughable game. Like, this is just an absurd, stupid little game. I don't know which of you would see it. Yes! Clue Clue Land! Yes, that's exactly right.
It keeps coming back to haunt us.
Yep. I would love to see one of you defend Clue Clue Land one night. I think that would be amazing.
I'd have to play it first.
Oh, that's part of the issue right there, yeah. Go try it. I would love to hear what you think.
I've actually went out and looked to buy the game, and I can't find it anywhere. So they either made, you know, a couple of hundred copies, and everybody bought it thinking it was going to be a better game, then just threw them away, or it just the game technically doesn't exist, and you just made it up. That's what I think it really happened. You just made the game up.
No, from an NES collector standpoint, it's one of the original black box titles, so people tend to hang on to those. Like, I have a copy, but I don't have an extra. But if you want to borrow mine sometime, you could, if you ever want to give it a shot.
Yeah, that's actually, I was getting into the whole black box collecting, and that was one of the games on my list. And I think you made it up. I think you put all the videos on YouTube. I think you did all the reviews on all the different sites. I think you just made the game up, Bailey.
The Clue Clue Conspiracy. That'd be a fun feature right on One More Castle sometime.
Due in theaters next fall.
Dun dun dun! Starring Ed Norton as Eric Bailey.
And Jason Lamb as the Canadian.
And Eric Hunter as some guy looking for a decent rail shooter.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing.
The eternal quest for a rail shooter that Eric Hunter will like. Nope. Turns into a zombie movie in the second half.
And there's lots of, like...
And on that note, thanks again, Jorge, for your question you emailed in. That was a fun one. Trying to imagine Jason defending the merits of Clue Clue Land. But that being said, are you two ready for a musical break?
Musical break, go.
Let's do it. Music! And we're back! That was Ghosts and Goblins by Unchipped. Some classic 8-bit chiptune sounds for your retro loving ears. And now we know what it's really time for, though, don't we? The Retro Showdown!
Retro Showdown!
For those of you who don't know, this is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen a retro game. None of us know what the other has chosen. We'll have 1 minute to introduce the game, and then afterwards just a free-for-all argument about whose game is the best. The best part, though, is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite on the podcast page. So hopefully our arguments can sway you. And as always, Jason is our official timekeeper. So if he has 1 minute on the clock for me, I'm ready to go.
Now, hold on a second.
Yeah, hold on.
Man.
Who? Oh, do I need to announce the previous winner? Do you guys want me to do that now?
Yeah.
Okay. I did write that down here. Sorry about that. I don't want to take glory away from who it's due. Maybe I'm just a little sour that I didn't win this time because I did last time and it felt pretty good.
Did I win this time?
Well... No.
What?
Two episodes ago was episode 16. Jason won with Pokemon Snap.
Oh, come on.
Pokemon Snap.
Defeating Harlem Globetrotters and Coca-Cola Kid.
Unbelievable.
Yes, Coca-Cola Kid was an unbelievable pick.
With all due respect, Hunter, I think that is a very believable result.
I disagree. Have you played Pokemon Snap? I mean, come on. Let's be real here.
I think I made my opinion clear, but I mean, yeah.
Listener is never wrong.
It is what it is.
What are you going to do? Old jokes are funny.
They are. Jokes are so funny.
Don't worry, I'll win this week.
No,
or last
you won't.
Week, whatever
no, you
week
won't.
It was.
I'm going to win this week.
Master of Darkness.
Nope.
No, no way.
Lawnmowers?
All right, Jason, let's get back to that timekeeping.
All right. Are you ready,
Bailey? I am ready.
You may begin.
For this week's Retro Showdown, I've reached back to the old familiar NES 8-bit Nintendo console from 1990, a point-and-click adventure game called Deja Vu. Takes place in 1940s Chicago, and has a very film noir type feel to it. You are the protagonist who wakes up in a bathroom stall with no memories. You grab your coat, your gun, and some various items in your pocket and set out on a little journey to figure out who you are and what's going on. There's blood on your hands, you might run into a mob doctor, and at one point, you have to properly combine medical ingredients to heal yourself from an ailment.
10 seconds.
All in all, it's good fun, unforgettable, distinctive, unique, and you should give it a try. Deja Vu on NES.
All right. Hunter, are you ready?
Yep.
You may begin.
Tonight I am accompanied by a couple of thieves. Those thieves being the Bonanza Brothers, released on the Sega Genesis in 1991. Ported from the arcade, you play as one of the Bonanza Brothers who break into high-profile locations to steal stuff. Really important stuff like gold bars, black bags, and floppy disks. Once collecting all the goods, you make your way to the roof of the building and get picked up by a blimp. The Bonanza Brothers is a fun 2D platformer that is even more fun with two players, co-op style. You get smashed cops up against walls by opening doors, hide against enemy fire, or just go in... guns a-blazin'. The Bonanza Brothers. Bonanza Brothers.
Nice. All right. I guess I'll begin. This week I choose a game released by Apogee Software called Rise of the Triad. Developed originally as an add-on to Wolfenstein, it was initially scrapped by id Software because they didn't want it to compete with Doom. Instead, it was retooled into a tale of you taking down a magical cult before they destroy Los Angeles, featuring such things as a magical baseball bat that lets you fire exploding baseballs, and a power-up that lets you turn into a dog and bite people in the crotch and make them explode by barking at them. Rise of the Triad is a dark, wacky, over-the-top shooter that encapsulates everything that was great in 1994. Rise of the Triad.
All right.
So we're back to this, are we?
What does that mean?
We're back to this.
We're back to the old strategy of Jason Lamb writing an article on One More Castle and then having it for the Retro Showdown.
How convenient.
I'll have you know, this was going to be my game last week, but then I discovered the lawnmower game halfway through.
Either way, man.
I'll have you know that you said it was initially scrapped, and I think it should have stayed that way. Booyah.
Oh, snap.
No. Oh, scrap.
Oh. Puns.
The bad jokester.
Rise of the Triad, to me, didn't really bring anything new.
Sure it did.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
No, it didn't.
Introduce things like fog and bullet holes and dynamic lighting and panoramic skies.
Well, now, wait a second. Haven't we covered Silent Hill in this space before? Wasn't that the true innovator of fog?
This came before Silent Hill.
Well, then, my point is bullcrap, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right.
All right. So...
Okay, hold on, Jason. Before you bring it up, let me just... Go ahead and, yes, Deja Vu is one of those games where the controller emulates a mouse. Okay?
Oh, I noticed that,
okay.
Yes.
The other than that, let's not do that again.
Oh, that's all right. This one does it well, unlike your choices.
It's true, though. Like, you use the controller to cycle through choices on the screen. It's actually not as heavily dependent on pointing at specific parts of the screen.
Yeah.
Like, you're usually scrolling through your inventory or choosing an action rather than, like, pointing at a tiny little 4-pixel spot on the screen to find a hidden thing.
Yeah. So I'm giving this a pass for the trying to emulate a mouse thing. Good job, Bailey.
Yep, that's right.
I see lots of things.
What?
I see my computer... I see stormtroopers. I see lots of things. I think Deja Vu has one of the worst HUD systems ever.
What?
None of it makes any sense whatsoever. You literally have to go through pointing and clicking and making mistakes, trying to figure out what the hell you're even looking at.
That sounds like a point-and-click adventure.
I was about ready to say, the trial and error... is not nearly as bad as some games like Uninvited. Have you played that one?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the HUD. I'm not talking about the game itself. I'm just the HUD.
Fair enough.
Because it takes up, what do you think, maybe 40, 45% of the screen? And then you've got this tiny little box to show that where you're at and what you're doing?
Something like that, but I don't find it confusing at all. I mean, examine, I know what that means. Take, open. I think these are pretty self-explanatory, Hunter.
But the exits, where the exits are located?
Once you realize that the grid has you in the middle and you're selecting movements that correspond with either going backwards or selecting one of the entrances that's viewable on the screen, it totally makes sense.
After.
Yeah, that's how you learn things. You got to learn it, and then afterwards you understand.
Much after. It couldn't tell me that. No.
Well, it's kind of like
it just
in... Bonanza Brothers, you only realize after that advocating that game is a lapse in ethics because you're teaching people to steal. That's awful, Hunter.
That's your arguments? We're teaching kids how to steal.
Not even kids, just anyone, any player. It's not just kids who play these games, Hunter. Intelligent grown adults play video games too. Don't condescend us.
No, I agree.
No, you don't.
Aren't I older than you?
Probably.
You're both old. Dur.
So they remade Rise of the Triad?
No, that comes out in sometime this year.
Because let's not try something new and innovative. No, let's just keep rehashing the same old crap over and over
again. Yeah, let's rehash the rehash.
That's the great thing about...
Shall we?
But we're not talking about the remake. We're talking about the original.
Well, yeah, I just happened to notice this.
Actually, he was talking about the remake, Jason. He specifically mentioned the remake.
fine if we're going down that alley.
In that one instance,
I guess we'll
yes.
talk about it. Yeah, they're remaking it, except they're not actually changing anything. So the gameplay, it's going to play like a mid-90s shooter. Just, you know, better mouse control. No, fast and crazy.
It's going to be fast and crazy, but with terrible graphics, that the whole thing is disorienting.
No, it's using the Unreal 3 engine. So it's going to be pretty. No. Okay, you can use the mouse and it's got good graphics, but the gameplay and enemies are the same. Same with the weapons.
That's, you know, it. No, there's nothing 90s about that.
That's true. Unreal 3 engine, that's not 90s at all.
Ah, whatever. It'll be pretty.
Wait, you can't...
Hey, listen, you chose a Mac remake.
So? What's wrong with that?
Why didn't you just choose the Mac one?
Because I'm a Nintendo guy. Duh. And I would even say it's superior to it. Oh. Yep, I went there.
Ooh. Why? Explain to me how they put that massive user interface.
It's so big and bulky.
How did they port it to the Game Boy Color?
So wonderfully large.
How did that fit on the Game Boy Color screen?
Fairly well, I would imagine, but I never actually played the Game Boy Color version, just the NES cartridge. I do want to say, Jason, you mentioned that in Rise of the Triad, you can have a magical baseball bat.
You can.
I seem to recall the time I brought a game to the Retro Showdown involving magic baseball bats, and you guys really made fun of it. Remember when I brought Monster Party? Remember that?
Monster Party?
Yeah.
No, I forget crappy games.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess we'll be forgetting about Rise of the Triad real soon.
Monster Party?
Really soon.
Very, very soon.
Or from the four reviews I just read, it's claimed to be a Doom clone.
Uh-oh.
It came out... Yeah, they, instead of first-person shooters in the mid-90s, they actually used the term Doom clone until about 1998, where first-person shooter overtook the term.
That sounds like something you're making up, Jason.
I am not. I will cite that right now.
No, I can... Yeah, he's right.
Well, then... Whatever, guys. Whatever. Fine.
That just makes me laugh. You refer to a game that was released before Doom as a Doom clone.
That's kind of funny.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, that is funny. Yeah.
That's really what I was. Sorry, that's what I was laughing at. Other people, not you guys. I like you guys.
Not us.
Oh, thanks. You know, I hate the music in Bonanza Brothers. Can I get that out of the way?
No,
it's so.
No, you can't get it out of the way.
Seizure-ish.
Oh, it's classic. It's classic Genesis.
No, see, if you play Deja Vu, the music is so good because it really puts you in that kind of a mob bar on the corner of downtown, like a speakeasy going on, some dame in the corner lighting a cigar, you know? It really puts you in the mood.
Well, you have to make up for mediocre gameplay somewhere. Might as well do it in the music. That's the easiest thing. My game, it's so jam-packed full of fun and excitement. They just didn't have room for halfway decent music. I mean, that's just how it works sometimes. Those carts are only so big.
I'm watching a walkthrough. Every level is literally a minute 20.
Yeah, if you're really good at it, yeah.
I'm just glad Hunter admitted that the music is not even halfway decent.
So the God mode on Rise of the Triad, the code is dipstick.
Because Jason's a dip.
Why? Why is it dipstick?
It's the 90s.
What? You can't just say that for everything.
It's the 90s.
That's the 90s.
Well, I'm not going to pay my house bill. Wait, it's the 90s.
It's the 90s.
It's the 90s.
Jason, come on. Make fun of Hunter's game. It's a side-scrolling platformer. Just jump all over that again. Why don't
and it's
go?
Amazing. You steal stuff. And actually, so here's the funny part about it, because this kind of threw me off. So the Japanese story is that you're thieves and you're going in and you're breaking in these places and stealing stuff. And the westernized version, you are testing the security systems.
Oh, of course. You know,
because I guess they were afraid of what the point you just made, Bailey, that people are going to learn how to steal stuff from casinos and a liner cruiser and all these fancy dancy places.
Well, you know that big problem in our society of all those children hanging out at casinos just so tempted to steal everything there, you know?
Yeah, and they got the knapsacks on their back ready to collect all the stuff, and they're wearing sunglasses. And...
Can I just say, though, if I wanted to play a retro side-scrolling platformer game in which I was testing security systems, I would play Hudson Hawk on NES. And if I wanted to play a side-scrolling retro platformer in which I was playing a crook, I would play Keystone Capers on Atari 2600.
Wow.
You heard me. Not Bonanza Brothers. I would not play Bonanza Brothers. There is no place for that game.
That's crazy. You are bananas.
You are incorrect.
This game is... It has horrible AI.
They're cops. They're stupid. Cops are stupid, right?
Whoa! They're not. I totally respect cops. I'm not saying they're all great. I know there's corrupt ones out there, but you should respect law enforcement.
But you could say that of anything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm saying it about cops. The AI is supposed to be dumb. Come on.
Well, there's no challenge.
It's one-shot kills. Makes up for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it AI. I don't think you can call that intelligence. I think that's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
So what would you call it?
Animated sprites. DI, there you go, yeah.
Dumb intelligence?
That's an oxymoron.
That is an oxymoron.
That's what this game deserves.
Words are hard.
Okay, are you shooting crabs or something?
What's that?
Okay, I keep watching, and you're shooting these little red piles of stuff. What is it?
Shooting red piles?
Are you shooting crabs?
What?
Yeah. That's the hallmark of a truly great game, when you're shooting red piles of stuff, end quote.
There's these little red piles that jump up and down on the ground, and they go, woohoo!
Yeah, I don't want to touch a game that involves piles. That just sounds gross.
Oh, they're dogs.
Those are dogs?
No way!
Yeah, they're like little brown circles. They're dogs.
Little brown...
Did the developers see a dog?
It's for comedic effect. I mean, look at the characters.
You can't blame bad graphics on comedic effect. No, that's almost as bad.
They literally look like piles of rocks or crabs.
Yeah, they're dogs.
Those are dogs.
Yeah, they show you the dogs during a cutscene in between two of the levels. They're getting chased by dogs. They're dogs.
I don't know which excuse is worse. It's for comedic effect or it's the 1990s. Why don't you just combine both and say it's for 1990s comedic effect?
Because it's for comedic effect. I know that.
You can't throw poop on a canvas and say, you don't understand my art. It's for a comedic effect. It's just bad.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of people that make a lot of money doing that.
Yeah, and they shouldn't. It's bad. It's not something that should be commended.
This game has a really inconsistent art style.
It's not inconsistent.
It is. Okay, look, all the characters are... I would say they're very modular. They don't have necks or...
Yeah, they're very
legs.
Shapely. I describe that as shapely.
Yes, but every other object in the game is drawn in a way that looks like an actual object. So the cars don't have spaces in them. The blimp you get on doesn't have, you know, like spaces missing, stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you gotta draw the line somewhere. I mean... Can't go crazy in some sort of...
Can't go crazy and make crab dogs.
Impressionist era of a video game. Then you're just, you know, you're standing on a whole different kind of platform where you're really just trying to steal stuff. I mean, it's all about stealing stuff, guys.
Yeah, you can't draw the line just anywhere. How dare they try to draw a line? How they might they? Actually end up with decent graphics.
How dare they
the graphics
try?
Are for comedic effect. I just said that. It's for 90s comedic effect.
And it's a stupid thing to say.
Hey, at least it's better than Rise of the Triad.
No, it's not.
Yeah, at least it's original.
Okay, so the first time I played Rise of the Triad,
Hudson Hawk and Keystone Capers did it first, so it's not original either. Sorry, go ahead.
It doesn't matter. This isn't about originality right now. There's nothing.
Oh, what the hell? I just watched the entire game.
There is nothing original about any of the games that we're playing.
Your game is 18 minutes long.
Okay, whoa. Did you just say that Deja Vu was not original? Because there has never before been a point-and-click adventure game done within 1940 Chicago mob setting. That was fantastic.
Right.
Yes, I am. You can sarcasm that all you want, but I am correct.
So the first time that I played Rise of the Triad, I was younger, and
As opposed to older? Did you play it when you were older than you are right now, Hunter?
Maybe.
It's got you there.
Where am I? I'm so confused. So anyway, played the game when I was younger. And the part that really stuck out at me was when you shoot somebody, but you don't kill them, and then they drop to their knees and they scream, "Please don't kill me." Exactly. That's really messed up, man. That is really messed up.
You know what's messed up? If you end up killing them. Did you kill them?
Well, yeah, of course I did.
Wow. Who's messed up now?
I can't let them just sit there in pain and agony. That's
he's
sadistic.
He's on his knees. He's begging. There's a screenshot on my article. He's clearly not bleeding.
Man.
He's thrown his gun down.
I thought.
And yet you executed him?
I thought Jason was the sociopath here.
Wow. No, we knew it was me all along. I mean, let's be honest here.
Okay, fine, whatever.
You're a monster.
The juggernaut.
I can't be the juggernaut anymore. I haven't won in forever.
Yep, you're a monster.
Wow.
It was just, I mean, Hunter. It's like that you take Wolfenstein 3D and you're just like, let's see how far we can push this rating. You know, that's not a game.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, you can say that Bonanza Brothers is unoriginal, and you can make that a valid claim, but to pick a 1990s PC first-person shooter is about the most generic, uninspired choice you can make.
No, man. Because
that's the year that, like, it was, that's what you did. You made first-person shooters.
I think, like, demos of first-person shooters would come on the AOL 4.0 free trial disc.
500 hours of free internet?
Yeah, man.
I know, because the 90s weren't full of platformers.
Platformers is a genre that'll stick around forever.
Yeah, you can do so much more with it. There's a lot more variety with platformers.
You know what you can do with a first-person shooter? You can shoot in first-person. That is it.
Yeah, I mean, at least...
That's like saying a platformer. You can only jump.
No.
In 2D.
There's running guns, there's hack and slashers, and there's pure jumping ones. There's some platformers you can't even jump, and it becomes a puzzle platformer.
There's puzzle first-person shooters.
What, like Portal?
Like Portal.
Jason.
That was a tech demo. That's all that Portal was a tech demo. Everybody went gaga over Portal coming out. It's a tech demo. That's it.
It was fantastic.
Let's not try to service Jason's first-person shooter fetish too much.
First-perder.
And we have our episode title.
First-perder?
First-perder.
Oh.
I just, deja vu, the HUD.
Who are you, Andrew Carrero?
Yeah. Deja vu, the HUD really put me off of how just overbearing it is.
What do you mean overbearing?
It's the entire screen.
It's almost the entire screen. It really is. Like, if you take a game like Manic Mansion, like, the HUD doesn't take you out of the game it does in Deja Vu.
It didn't for me. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and clearly you had that experience, but that was not my experience at all. I didn't find it overbearing.
Well, you were one out of a million, my friend.
Hey, I'm a lucky guy.
No. There's too many ways to die in this game. Like, you can make just, like, simple mistakes and you end up dead.
But this is the beauty.
Open a door, you're dead.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, oh, you could go down in the manhole in the sewer. Is that what you want to do? Oh, no ladder, you died.
But that's the beauty of Deja Vu, because there's two things on this. The first thing is, a lot of them are avoidable. If you play smart, like, you can learn what to avoid, and you can always learn after you do it, too. But the second thing, and the more importantly, it's funny. Like, the writing in Deja Vu is actually clever, and it makes it hilarious. Like, there's a part where you have to combine different chemicals to form sodium bicarbonate, but if you do it wrong, you ingest it and, like, poison yourself. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that's so funny. Yeah. God, I'm losing it.
Poisoning yourself is hilarious.
Maybe that wasn't the best example, but there's totally some funny deaths in there, I promise. Oh, for example, you can use the gun on yourself. Like, that's... Okay, that doesn't sound funny either.
Okay, everything you're saying... So it's a suicide simulator.
Yeah, disclaimer. One More Castle is not saying that suicide is hilarious. Go get help if you need it. Call a hotline. Find a counselor.
This has been Eric Bailey on Suicide.
Do-do-do-do.
The more you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Okay, so far we've covered that you, as Eric Bailey, killed your own player over and over. Hunter, in my game, executed people who begged for their lives.
Mm-hmm. And that's just so... It's creepy, man. Like, have you heard that... Have you heard the soundbite? It's stuff
I
like
the game.
No, man, that's pushing it to the level for shock value.
Yeah,
and that brings nothing to the game. That does not make the game better. Doesn't make it more memorable. It's just to shock the player into an experience that I'm sure nobody in the world wants to experience. I mean, if you do, you should probably call a hotline.
Well, you didn't have
get
to
a counselor.
The more you know. No, I back Hunter up on this one, though. It's almost like they had a meeting, and they're sitting there, and they're saying, well, we're in the 90s. We're going to release a PC first-person shooter, because that's what everyone's buying. How can we make it distinctive from the others? How can we make it memorable? And someone piped up and said, hey, what if we made it really disturbing, where people are begging for you not to shoot them in the face? Wouldn't that be a way to make it stand out? And I have to say, if that's what you have to stoop to make your game stand out, I have to question your game.
And that's another thing they did in the 90s. They always said, hey, we're in the 90s.
Yeah.
Every time.
How
those 90s treating you, my friend? They're good. These 90s are good.
That explains so many things. Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic CD. Basically everything Sega did in the 90s was explained by that mentality.
I love Sega.
I know.
And I hate Sega all at the same time.
That's like me with Capcom.
Well,
hey guys, we're veering way off topic at this point, so what do you say we go into some closing arguments?
All right.
Hunter, why should anyone vote for Bonanza Brothers on the podcast page?
You should vote for the Bonanza Brothers on the podcast page because stealing stuff in a video game is a lot of fun. And... smashing cops into walls by opening doors is hilarious.
Hotline Miami.
So good.
Never played it.
You need to. Hey, Jason.
You need to. Yes.
You're
chastising the violence of Rise of the Triad?
Nobody begs for their life in Hotline Miami.
Touché.
I'll just edit that last bit out then.
No, that was great. Like, they all have it coming in Hotline Miami. Let's fix it.
Oh, yeah. Because they're all like, you know what? It's the 90s. How you guys want to do this?
How about a power drill and a shotgun?
Or maybe an overbearing HUD system and you can't even play the game.
Let's go to our resident overbearing HUD system now. Jason, why should anyone vote for your game in the Retro Showdown?
You should vote for my game because it introduced a lot of cool features to first-person shooters, such as fog and smoke and lighting and all that stuff, and you can get a dog power-up, which lets you turn into a dog and bite people and shoot bark blasts, which make them explode.
I don't know about anyone else, but that does not make it sound attractive to me personally, but
we can woof, his head explodes.
Well, still.
And, sadist.
Yeah. I'm Eric Bailey, and you should vote for my game because Deja Vu is unlike any other point-and-click adventure you'll play, and I'm not even saying you have to spend, like, a week on it. Just play through it once and enjoy it. The music is great. The visuals are fun. The writing is clever. It's really atmospheric. Unforgettable. Cool. All right. Good showdown, gentlemen. I'd like to give a quick shout out to Ben Landis for lending us usage of his tracks for the intro and outro. Remember, the interlude artist was Unchipped with a mix from Ghosts and Goblins. You can actually download that track on the podcast page if you like it. And Hunter, do you have any shout outs this week?
Yeah. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My website is ericmhunter.net. And let's see who the last person to Twitter me. Let's just go for Robin Gibson. She is at XXBumbyXX, and she describes herself as a hopeless romantic and a geek at heart. Because who isn't?
Amen to that. Jason, any shout-em-outs?
Shout-em-outs. You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. Other than that, I'm going to give a shout-out to the Wii, who outsold the Wii U in the month of December.
Yeah, I read that. Good job, Nintendo. Way to forefront your console.
Woo-hoo. Way to go, Wii.
And let's not forget that this is the first console that they've ever released where they actually lost money on the investment. Good job.
Well,
how about you, Barry?
You know what? Screw everyone. I don't have any shout-outs. I have no one to say anything to. No shout-outs from me this week. Maybe next week.
Ouch. Does that mean that one of us gets an extra shout-out? Because I want to shout-out to Jason Lamb.
Oh. Oh. I'd like to shout-out to Eric Hunter.
Hey, thanks, guy. I appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Thanks for that extra shout-out, Bailey.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad you two could have that moment. That was a true codec moment right there.
It's beautiful! Oh, God.
Wow, you two sounded eerily similar there. That was kind of creepy.
We're actually in the same room right now.
Okay, yeah. And with that, we're going to close out the episode with our weekly reminder to our listeners. Remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.